Hello, and welcome to the Strength to Be Human podcast with your host, author and playwright Mark Anthony Rossi. This show explores all forms of creativity for those searching for meaning and a place in the world. To err is human, but so is to love. Now, without further ado, here's your host.
Hi, folks. Welcome back to Strength to Be Human. This is your host, Mark Anthony Rossi. Tonight, we're going to be dealing with short bios, and that's the title of this, Short Bios, A Matter of Respect. This will be episode 53. I'm very excited about it, mainly because it's become a topic now that I need to talk about, which I never expected when I put together the show and we did all this literary topics and, you know, submissions, rejections, all these various different facets of writing in the rife of writing, publishing, you know, etc., that we have to go about short bios. But it's just becoming much more of a, I think it's becoming much more of a situation, especially with my magazine, and I've talked to some others and are having some problems as well. So I'm not really sure if writers have fallen to the wayside with this and they just don't really care anymore, and just think it's just some formality they don't have to follow, or if it's simply something folks, they get so familiar with things that they weren't forgetting, or I just don't think it's important anymore. But it is, okay. The short bio, or it's like a little mini credit resume that you might have at the end of a submission, or even in a possible follow-up letter. I find that it's critical. It has two major parts. The first part is it has a lot to do with the writer and the respect of the writer about what they've done, and give somebody a sense, if they have some credits, you know, what they've been doing in the last 3 to 6 months. And of course, it's also critical for the editor to be able to see that if they publish somebody, they're going to have their credit on there. So we're going to talk about both of those things. First, we're going to talk about what this does for the writer and why it's important. One of the main reasons is because it does establish a sort of a route or a pathway or a direction of where you've come from. You know, it's almost like you're being stopped when you're driving a car and, you know, let me see your driver's license. Here you go. I'm from here. This is where I'm going, blah, blah, blah. It's like that. It's a real important calling card because it tells, first of all, what you've been doing lately, okay? You know, I've got published over, you know, Big Bear Review and, you know, Scooby-Doo Journal and, you know, I Love You Escapades and, you know, Catfish, you know, Anthology, okay? But also, in many instances, it's also you're giving back the respect to the people that have published you, they've taken a chance on you. You're kind of giving them some exposure by other people seeing that. It's not unusual for another writer to read your material, whatever it might be, poetry, nonfiction, fiction, etc., and say, hey, you know, I never heard of this Catfish Journal before. I know all about Scooby-Doo, but I don't know anything about this Catfish. So sometimes it's a good way to promote the people that helped publish you, the people that are helping you, you know, build a resume and some credits, you know, maybe to eventually put together a book or something. So it's a good way to do that. Another thing is it also helps them kind of understand where you're coming from. You know, I'm not suggesting that somehow somebody reads a bio of yours, let's say you have 6 credits on it, and now they know everything about you. Oh, I know the style he's writing, and I know what kind of thing he does, and blah, blah. Not really, but generally speaking, though, you know, you can get an idea. Quite frankly, you know, if you got, you know, 3 or 4 credits that have to do with science fiction or horror or something speculative, and then you got 2 just, you know, regular old literary ones, it wouldn't be hard for them to say that, gee, he works a lot in this, or she works a lot in this other stuff versus that. I mean, so people can make some general assumptions. They don't have to be, you know, some big critical swings on who you are and what you're doing, because they still got to read your work anyway, okay? But it kind of gives them a gist. It also gives them a good idea, too, if you're just doing things strictly literary. You got literary credits, and that's that. You're not doing anything else that's, you know, in a genre thing. You know, like, you're not doing a Batman story or, you know, Superman online journal or, you know, writing about The Walking Dead or something. You're just simply doing just literary stuff, poetry, fiction, nonfiction, you know, etc. Book reviews, maybe. But it kind of gives them a good idea. Now, folks, it's very important to have this, if you do have it, because oftentimes it's something that's part of the guidelines. I know for mine, I've made it more of an important point to have it there. I publish it along with the work when it's accepted, and it saves me 50% more work if you just simply send it to me along with the submissions, rather than I got to go around finding who you are, what your email address was, and go ask you to go send me one. I shouldn't have to do that. If it's in the guidelines, send it to me with everything else. That's what you do. I do it because it saves me a lot of work to have it right there. Okay? And that's how I do things. Editors are different, though. Some editors are actually looking at that bio. You know, it's important to them. Quite frankly, I look at it later on after I read the work. I never look at it beforehand because it doesn't tell me anything that I need to know. If I'm liking the poetry, I really don't care who you've been published with, for the most part. Okay? But if you're not including it, there's a good chance you could be breaking someone's guidelines. I know you'd be breaking mine, and I'm not happy about that. So let's not be doing that. And also, again, it could be a cost-saving, you know, thing in terms of time. You know, it's really helpful for that. But it's also a good way to advertise yourself, because many times inside these little bios, you can have a link. Go check out my site, and you could read some of my other work. Go check out my site, and you'll have links to other things I've been published in other magazines. Go check out my site, or go check out my Instagram, or look at me, you know, doing something over here or over there. It's a good way to advertise your work. I got a book, you know, that's out. Here's where it's at, you know, etc. So it's a good thing to have. So I don't know why people don't want to include it or forget or don't think it's important, because that's just very silly, and it's not very professional. And it's one of the reasons I have to put together a show like this, because it's becoming more and more of a hassle. I don't really want to just reject somebody outright because they have to send the bio. But quite frankly, I get busy, especially during the summer times, which we get a heavy amount of submissions. And how difficult is it to read the guidelines to understand this? I mean, is it that difficult? It isn't. So it shouldn't be a problem. If anything, like I do, I often just can, I have one built in already to my submission email. I have it built in already there. This way, and I just update it. This way, I don't have to ever worry about it. I send it out. Hey, I'm sending you this and that and that, and it already has it in there. So I never have to worry about forgetting about it. It's always there. I just update it as time goes by. That's it. That's how I do it. I'm not suggesting you do it that way, but it's how I honor what I feel is becoming more and more necessary, okay? If you don't have any credits, you're not violating anything, but you have to say something. Hey, if you publish me, this will be the first time I was published in a literary journal. And that's fine. And meanwhile, you can say a little bit of something about yourself. Hey, I'm a carpenter. I live out on the farm. You know what I mean? I hang out with the horses, and I'm doing some poetry and fiction about the wildlife of animals out here, and, you know, hopefully I'll be published by it. Something like that. Just a little bit of personal stuff you can put down there. I had one lady, she put down, I'm a housewife, kids grown up, got a couple of cats, and, you know, I have more time now, so I'm doing more of this. Here's two credits or whatever. And then, so you could just, it's a little combination of a personal, professional. You know, some people have more of this type of a bio resume than others, you know. So I tend to let people go a little bit carried away with it. I don't, as long as you're not giving me 3 pages of it or something. If you got a paragraph or two, I'm okay with that. I really don't care if it's 25 credits and a link to your stuff. That's fine with me, you know. I just, normally really goes too far, but, you know, I always remind people that, you know, if you're giving me an 18-line poem and your bio is like 25 lines, that does look a little strange, you know. But hey, It's a joke, I guess, with writers. Try not to have a bio longer than your poem or, you know, your fiction. But hey, it happens, and that's fine. But include it, because I think it's very important to have it out there. It really does show your own sense of direction and pride. It really does. Hey, I've done this. This is where I'm at. Blah, blah, blah. I got some stuff forthcoming. That's great. That's really what you should be putting out there. It really is. And I think lots of people like to see that. I think other writers and readers do too. Oh, wow, this guy's stuff was good and no surprising. Look at this, what he's done over here and what he's doing over there. Well, like I said, you'll find a lot of writers that make some mental and sometimes some written, jotting down notes. You know, got to check this place out. Let me go look this up or whatever. And that's great. That's a good way to spread things around, and that's what you want to do. Sometimes a writing market can get, you know, elevated, or it can get a lot more attention just because, you know, people are putting those bios out there and letting folks know about, you know, his person published me, this is what these folks have done, etc. So I think it's great, and it's important to have it out there. Now, not to make anything controversial on the show or to scare anybody or anything, but I know for a fact that there's a lot of places, especially the academic journals, they swear by these things, and they practically judge people by them before they even look at the work. You know, if you don't have a couple of academic credits, it's much harder to break in there because they're looking at it going, ugh, you know. And I think some writers feel that unless they're being asked for it, you know, they shouldn't have to include it. And like I said, if it's in the guidelines, you have to include it, period. Sometimes there are guidelines that say, we don't really want to see any of that stuff. We just want to see the writing. And then if we decide to pick you up, well, then we'll send you an email to go send this to us, maybe with a photograph or a little bit of this and whatever, and that's fine. So you got some magazines that do have that in their guidelines, bio later versus now. But more and more, they want to see it now. And I'm sorry to say it, sometimes it can be judged. That's just life, okay? You're going to have people judging you by the friends you keep, by the job you have, by your background, by how you look, the color of your hair, God forbid, the color of your skin. So you're going to have silly people doing this anyway. Sometimes it's noticeable, sometimes it's not. So just chalk it off another one of those things that maybe not always fair. But, you know, I'm guaranteeing you that there are plenty of people out there that probably look at this and go, you know, if I got this on a tiebreaker with somebody else who I also like their work, you know, They might say, hey, this guy's on the roll. This girl is really good. She got some credits. Let's just, you know, take a chance on her again. But so it can help you just as much as it can hurt you. So you never want to get too paranoid about that because you just don't really know. You don't really know what kind of impact it can have. I know there's some people that do this. And literally, they say, you know, I'll take this because of, they have a couple really solid credits and I like this and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, in the end, it's really about your work. I don't really know too many editors that simply say, their work was okay, but these credits are really solid. I mean, in the end, though, if they like your work, maybe they're, like, frustrated or feeling strange because they got a couple other pieces. They only got so many spaces and it's becoming like a 3 or 4-way tie. Maybe it could help. You never know. But they're still reading the work and they're still judging it. So just keep that in mind, okay? Now, the next thing here is why an editor would want to see this. Now, we talked about already, and the first thing I know that comes to my mind is it saves me personally a lot of work, okay? Because when I'm putting together issue, I might have 15 or 20 writers in it. I mean, so imagine sending 15, 20 emails out after I already told them the guidelines that I really need the bio up front. I need to have it there. So that's a lot more work. And as I'm waiting for that, that just makes it that much slower for me to put the layout out of the magazine or get stuff up there and, you know, and wrap up the issue. So I don't really like that. You wouldn't believe sometimes people, you know, are slow in responding. And which is really, really sad because you accept something. They're like, oh, they respond back to you quickly. Hey, thank you. And then, I can have a bio and then you never hear from them again. I don't like putting together my magazine without a bio. I really don't. So I try to avoid it whenever I can. You know? If I know the writer from the past on something, I can simply put, you know, if I really like the work, I could just put, hey, you know, they've had work in, you know, with Aerial Chart in the past. And, you know, perhaps other publications. Just do something that, you know, generic, but at least it's honest. You know, it might not cover everything rather than having to deal with all that. But it's really about the work. It just makes it that much easier for editors that do this kind of thing. And the second thing, of course, to me is deeply important, is it's truly a matter of respect for the people that publish you already. I cannot tell you how many times already this year that I've had people submit stuff, and I know them. I know their name. I remember them from last year, and somehow they don't have my credit in their bio. We're in the middle of the year here, so, I mean, you're talking about sending me something and, you know, March and February and April, it's less than a year that they've been published, but somehow I don't have that in the credit. And then they have the audacity to be upset about that. Oh, you shouldn't be looking at that. I shouldn't worry about that. I never got around to it, blah, blah, blah. I mean, there's a good chance that they probably never even put, you know, the name of Aerial Chart in their bio at all, which means that all the other places they've been published don't even know about me because they haven't had the respect or the decency to do that. And it really gets my claw on that. It really does. I don't like that at all. So I've had some people I just simply had to reject on that. I just find it extremely disrespectful, and I find it suspicious. It should be no problem. You know, and you would think that people would at least, even if somehow they forgot the last 6 months to put it on there, they're going to submit it. Oh my God, I need to put this in here. I don't know what this guy, I think I'm a complete jerk. Even that, what can I tell? But I mean, when they're not even doing that, it means they probably never put it out at all. And again, that's the advertising, it kind of a promoting the publication that's already took a chance on you. And now I'm not even getting that. And then I get, you know, a nasty email back. Oh, I've done that, blah, blah, blah. No more blah, blah, blahs. You're never going to get published with me again. So blah, blah on that. Okay? It shouldn't be difficult to do this. Shouldn't be difficult to update your bio, what you've been published. Hey, my magazine is called Aerial Chart, which means that it's an A. It should be right up there in the top of your credits. It should be right up there. Not the first or second one already. You know? That's all alphabet. That's all it is, folks. This is not terribly difficult. And that's why I don't like that sort of thing. To me, people get silly. They can become credit hogs, like we used to call them. And then they lose respect, and it becomes some sort of a numbers game. And I'm not playing that. We work hard to try to make the magazine look great for everybody involved in it. Make it something that, you know, they should be proud of being a part of. So I find it critically important that you have in your bio, you know, that you've been published by some of these magazines. You're going to come back for a second time, and then this person's going to go, they're going to wonder, what have you been doing all that time? Because it surely doesn't look like it. You know, it's been an important thing for you to making sure that you've had that in the credit. So it's a little hard to believe that is the case, you know? Now, there's a couple ways you can put together these short bios, okay? They don't have to be something that has some special format. It doesn't have to be something that's super sophisticated. I mean, it could be off the top of your head. You know, you don't have to be the same one you're using it everybody else. You could just do one right there. Just remember the last couple places. Yeah, this is Jimmy John, and I've had some poetry and fiction, and, you know, in these couple of magazines, and, you know, I got a book coming out here shortly, and you know, that sort of thing. It's a little advertisement about you and what you've been doing. You know, and I don't understand how a writer can somehow forget about this when this is a way for them to also advertise something about what they've been doing. It goes in the magazine, especially if it has a hyperlink in an online journal like mine, and that's almost like gold. I like this poem. Let me go hit this link and see what else this guy's doing. Let me go check this girl's book out. People are not going to be more interested. You know, so I to not have something like that, it just doesn't, I don't understand that. And then these are the same folks that normally get mad. I don't know why no one's looking at my work. I don't know why no one's buying this. I don't know. Well, I don't know. Maybe you're just not doing anything to let folks know. Your short bio is no different than putting a little note in there on social media about what you're doing. Okay? It's a marketing thing. It's a promotional thing. All right? And it's certainly a thing of pride. But it's a way to let folks know, and you have to really take it seriously. To not take it seriously, you know, you hurt your own. And again, you have other magazines that are gonna get irked about this. You come back there again. I try not to get too militant about letting people come back, you know, again and again. If you got some good work, I try to look at it seriously and accept it again. But I can't have, you know, an absent of our credit in there and a slap of her face. I can't accept like that. It's just deeply disrespectful. So keep this in mind, the short bio and how important it is out there. Okay. Also, keep this in mind as well. You want to make sure that you try to keep it as updated as possible. It's not that difficult to do. And you're going to find more times than not that when you include it, even if it's not specified clearly that you can include it or not. Some don't even say anything about it, so you include it, I say. That's what you should do. Unless it literally says, don't give it to us, unless we actually accept your work. You should make sure that you have it out there. Make sure it's part of your cover letter built into already. Or part of your email you sent out. You could, you know, put it down there in a couple lines as part of a signature, which is what I do, and it's very helpful. And all I gotta do is, you know, update it from there. So I like that. And that really does help to get work out there. I found by measuring this, okay, that I got more commentary from editors and I got more acceptances when I had a bio built in already to my cover letter than when I didn't have it before. It was like a third higher. So, you know, this is not scientific, folks. So I can't tell you if it worked exactly like I'm telling you. All I can tell you is this. I keep notes. I keep records. And I can tell from the span of submitting when it didn't have a bio and the span of submitting when I did have a bio, with the bio, 30% higher on the submission exceptions. Okay? So, I mean, got accepted 30% more. Call it a coincidence all you want. But once I noticed that some years back, I never turned back. I've always included it ever since. Unless it says, you know, don't. Always included it. Now, some, especially the ones that are in submittable, and I don't know why they seem to be more particular with submittable, but some will literally give you directions on how they want you to put together the bio. They're not terribly difficult directions, but, you know, just like you get a little annoyed going, really? It only can be 50 words long, 100 words long, 2 sentences long. You know, one said, you know, put in just a couple of credits and one link, you know. So I would say, like anything else, you want to observe it, because if you're gonna breach something that seems so simple, I mean, why get on these people's nerves? And then the next, you know, they don't publish you, and it could just be because, you know, you put in 16 lines for your bio. So I mean, apparently that probably can hurt some people. So you definitely want to observe that and what it says. Okay, now, if any guys know anything about submittable, it already has it built in. A form letter, and even a little area where you could put in a bunch of credits in as your short bio. So you can leave that and just update it whenever you want, and then submit it out there. It's already built in. I do that as well as the email, because those are the two ways I send things. Either by email that has a built-in cover letter, or the one that's built into submittable already. I just try to update that so they can see what's going on. And to me, it's been a real godsend. I think it's good for people to see what you've been doing, and quite frankly, it's also good for your own self. I honestly think that this is also a very personal thing about, you know, a point of pride. You should be happy about, I got published here, I got published there. I mean, it's always an exciting thing to be published and to be accepted and have your work out there. So people ought to be doing whatever they can with their bios to show the editors, to show other writers, to show the world, you know, that they're out there and they're making a difference, and the work, you know, is being read and hopefully, you know, being taken seriously, and maybe it leads to other things. I know in a couple of stories I'll share with you. First story is I literally shared this with somebody, a writer, who's asking me about, you know, what can we do to help increase, you know, getting accepted? You know, and I never take these kind of questions lightly, and I'm never sarcastic or even ironic about them, because it's writing. I take it seriously. You know, they're asking, you know, honestly, what can I do? You know, you want to say something like, you know, do your best to research the magazine. I mean, you can say that all day long, and it sounds like wonderful advice, but there's only so much you can do. I'm telling you, especially some of these academic magazines, I swear to you, they seem to be caring more about the credits and what college you went to or currently going to than anything else. Because what can you really derive from the poetry? In some cases, it's quite boring and procedural and more interested in form and structure than actually making some sense or even having some kind of basic message or point of view. How the hell is that telling me anything about your magazine? I have to be a boring academic person. Yeah, thanks. That's not helpful. So I told this person that I thought they would be increasing their acceptance rate if they just try to add more of a bio when they make that submission. Unless it says don't. That's what I told people to do. That helped me more than anything else. You know, obviously you get better with time and you keep writing and you want to keep having some stuff out there, you know. And there's nothing wrong with that. We never really know when something gets accepted, why it's accepted. We just don't know. Is it because the work this year was better than the stuff we sent last year? We don't know if the editor simply became fond about something about that poem that struck a bell. We don't know if somehow they feel it fits in some theme. I hear this a lot. Unless it really has a pronounced theme, I don't know what the hell they're talking about. Yeah, it fits in my theme. Really, what the hell was that? Because I didn't see anything about a theme in this. You don't even know what that means. It could just be a nice way of saying, I don't know, I think it fits in the flow of the stuff I have so far. Because, you know, you don't see that stuff until it's published, the magazine itself. So you just got to take their word, I guess. But to me, it's a mystery. And sometimes it's going to be a mystery to you of why. But I do know that, including a bio, and trying not to just smear the heck out of these people when they ask you for something on these guidelines is a big deal. I mean, some things do make a big, big difference. I mean, if they only want a submission in Doc or Google Doc, you know, you shooting them off some PDF or something, that's not really helpful when they don't like that form. I mean, I know it might sound all technical and everything, but it comes back to, you know, you're going to give them more work when they're happy with this other form of how they receive it. That's how they're going to view it. Oh, they didn't want to read this particular small thing. How difficult can this been for somebody? You wouldn't believe how much stuff is probably tossed aside just for that. Remember, I know this sounds harsh, but it's unfortunately the truth. It's sort of like the job interview when there's only two positions available and you got 300 people. I mean, quite frankly, when you're going through all this, you're looking to weed out the stuff that just simply is going to make no sense to you at all. It has no way that you want that person to work here. It's no different with writing. You're looking for stuff to get rid of. So breaking simple rules, you're probably going to be a goner right there. I mean, unless this poem is like incredible magic, but quite frankly, it don't matter how incredibly magical it is, because there's a high chance that they probably never even read it because you broke that rule, or it's in a PDF, and they just dumped it, which means they never even read it. So, for all I hear sometimes behind the scenes, and I don't like to be a school mom here, and I'm not your father, you know? But, quite frankly, thinking about, oh, the rules don't matter. As long as they read my stuff, they'll be struck by how great it is. Yeah, they won't even get a chance to read it when you break some of these simple and quite frankly, important rules for them. Might not be important for you, but for them it is. So that's not really going to help you. So don't break the rules. Include a bio when it's allowed. Big difference in terms of acceptance rate. You know? Because that's what you're going to ask somebody when someone asks you, how do I increase my acceptance rate? And it'll be the three things I tell those people. Make sure you have a bio. You know, unless it restricts you from doing so. Make sure you're not breaking any serious critical rules. Okay? And just make sure that you're putting enough submissions out there. Okay? If you're looking to get a couple of credits or a couple of publishings each month, I mean, you might have to make 30 or 40 submissions just to get that. No matter how good you are. No matter where you're sending it to. That's just the way things are. So it's real important that you put enough out there. You know what I mean? You can't go moaning to the world, I don't know what happened. I put out 5 submissions this month and they all got rejected. Yeah, thanks. You need to put more out there, okay? You imagine how many writers are out there right now saying, I think I'm not any good. I think I'm not making a connection. I think my work stinks. I think I'm just should try finger painting, you know, on the beach. Really, why would you think any of that if you're not submitting enough stuff? You're not giving people enough chances. Because remember, there's going to be stuff that's going to get routed out right away because they don't like it just from the first 2 lines. You don't know that until you put it out there enough to where you're going to have a number of people read it and then somebody's going to say yes. In some cases, you might get more than one person to say yes. And you got to tell them, I got this picked up by somebody else, but thank you. Have a good day. Maybe, you know, if I sent them 3 poems, maybe you could look at the other 2 and, you know, let me know. No one's ever did that before. I have 36 years of writing, okay? But I always ask, always. You know, you never want to leave anything unturned if you can. So that's what I would suggest to you. Those are the 3 critical things right there that'll really help you boost your acceptance rate. If you're not doing those, well, then there's only 2 reasons in my book, okay? If you're not doing those things, either you don't really care about getting published that much and you're happy the way you're doing things, okay? Or you just don't have much of a work ethic because this is all work. It's work to come up with the ideas. It's work to write them down. It's work to rewrite them to get them really good. You know, it's work to save them. Sometimes change them into different formats because some of these journals, you know, I've had an instance at least, I don't know, a dozen times already where I had a poem I really liked. It was new. It had never been published before. And over the course of, I don't know, maybe 3 weeks as I'm sending it out amongst with other stuff that hasn't been published either, I mean, I'm stuck having to send it out. One place to Doc. The other place wants Google Docs. The other one wants PDF. The other one wants RTF. Which is that rich text format. You'd think that was gone forever, but apparently there's still some people that use it. So I'm literally having to make different versions of it, then sending it out. I'm like, holy moly. So they have lots of rules out there, some annoying and more than others. But in the end, as the editor, when I'm looking at things, I know sometimes this has to do with just sort of lessening the workload. I think that's important. I could tell you one thing on fonts, and you're gonna be asked that sometimes too. I don't really see what the deal is on that. I mean, unless you're sending me a font that looks like it's in Arabic and I can't even read the writing, that's a problem if I can't read what you're sending me. Other than that, I don't really care what font it is because if I accepted it, I'm changing into the font that I use standard for the magazine on a regular basis. So I don't really care about that. And it just needs to be readable. But you got some places over there that are literally dictating you. The font has to be this, and it has to be this size. And, you know, and I love the places that say, we want some fiction, but we want you to double space it. What's that about? You're reading it on the computer. What does it matter? It's not like the old days where you're getting it in the mail or something, and you're using that double space with your red pen to do all your editing work of what you want to accept, what you don't like, with blah, blah, blah. You're not really doing that on the computer. So why is it that important? Just read it. You see some issues, you can make a note and send it back to them. It's not that difficult. So I don't know why, but that's another thing that a lot of journals are fine with, this whole double space thing. So I don't really see why the double space is necessary. Neither do I see why fonts and sizes and stuff like that are necessary. I really don't. To me, that has nothing to do with the workload of them. That's just them being particular for whatever reason. You still have to abide by it if you want to get through that magazine. Don't get me wrong. I'm not telling you don't do it. I'm just saying that I don't see the wisdom in that. I understand, you know, the file type because that might be just the way they do things in terms of how they get their, you know, their magazine laid out. You know, and it's less work versus another version. That I understand. And That is probably more critical to abide than anything else, actually. Now, let's just do a quick recap of all this, okay? All right, so the short bio, and my professional opinion, is a really a matter of respect. And it's a critical element, I feel, both as the writer, the show where you've been, to show your own sense of pride, maybe even for yourself, that when you send it out there, yeah, I got this, I got that. I mean, because you remember when you're trying to shoot for these things, and then 6 months later, you're putting it down as a credit. It's awesome. It really is. It's really a goal achieved and, you know, a dream realized, or whatever you want to call it. It's critical for the editors, okay, second part here, because this is part of how they promote their publication, by having you out there doing that. So when you don't do that, you're hurting them, you're disrespecting the work they did for you, okay? Because you're robbing them from all that they could have gotten from that. And then it's a double insult when you come back to them. Hey, what do you think about this one? Remember me? I got published last year with you. Yeah, really? Why is this not in the bio then? Thanks. So you want to be able to show people respect, not only just to self, but to other people, you know, who've shown support to you. That's really the name of the game, folks, for all that we do in writing, is that we cannot forget the people that show us for support. You know, the readers that might make comments, the editors that publish it and sometimes make comments, good or bad. But the people that support us, if we do things that's harming them, then we harm everything that we do. So that's why the bio is also important just for that too. You know, it helps with support. Support somebody's magazine, support yourself. You know, I even think it's good for, like, psychological well-being, to be honest with you. You know, I like it just for that, too. I love to see it, and I like when other people send it in as well. I like to see what they've been doing. They wrote this, they've done that. Sometimes it's pretty darn interesting. So why not make sure that you have that out there? This way, you've done all your due diligence to show people respect, to show yourself respect. You know, show the road that you're trying to travel. And hopefully somebody will see some of your new work, and maybe they also want to catch on with that as well. All right, folks, until next time, the strength to be human. God bless, and thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for listening. Please follow the show and visit our blog at strengthtobehuman.blogspot.com.